And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Join me today is Wario Will.
So let me get this right. We're forced to listen to this spa music so your head doesn't explode and kill us all.
Yeah.
That is a horrible Psyduck voice. All right. The cartoon version is super.
Yeah, that's annoying. That voice is good. That voice is a live-action movie voice.
Volok! That's terrible. That doesn't sound anything like son. Volok! What is
you
that?
You have to get out of your... You have to unchain yourself from the anime. This isn't the anime. It's a different show.
Are you telling me to go outside the box?
Yeah.
Dude, the box is there for a reason. Respect the box!
No. And those designs, I feel like super validated because every single one of those Pokemon, even Apeom, nice. He looked good. Every single one of them looks
Apeom
good.
Apeom was horrible. All right, look, we are going, I promise you, Tyler didn't see the topics, but we will be talking about the Detective Pikachu trailer because I definitely want to have a debate about this, but we'll be saving that for later. So hold your horses, Tyler, or hold your Mudsdales, Tyler. Actually, there hasn't been. Oh wait, Ponytas. Okay,
well,
hold your Ponytas,
Dale,
Tyler.
Yeah.
Hold your Rapidashes, Tyler.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would love to say, ladies and gentlemen, that this has been a very eventful week. That we have a bunch of things to talk about. We're so excited, but honestly, no, it didn't happen. You know. I mean, did you see the title of the episode? We weren't exaggerating when we made that up. That was literally the course of our week. But we do have things to talk about, so we're gonna get started with what have you been playing? And I'll get started because my heavy week of gaming continued over the weekend as I finally got to finish Yoshi's Crafted World. It was very fun. I was surprised by how much fun I had, and yet again how difficult it was. We have a topic about that later in the news section, but this was a very difficult game at times, and it made it more satisfying. And as I mentioned in my review, which is up right now, the level design of Yoshi's Crafted World is just spectacular. It's the creativity of it all is that you literally cannot say that there are two levels that are exactly the same, right? Like there's a level where you're on a plane and it takes you throughout the whole level. And then there's another level where you have to bounce on or jump around on platforms that fold in on each other, like with via gravity, and then they release and then they get back together. It's great. And then one that I never saw coming, there was a solar car racing level.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was great. You literally had a three-panel solar car, and you had to actually lean on the panels to get the car to turn to a direction that you wanted. And then there was shade, and if you get in the shade, your car slows down. And it's just on. And then there was a couple, like, ninja levels, which I'm sure you would like, Will. when one of them had like the shinobi screens where all you see are the shadows, and like that's how you progress through the levels. It's really, really fun. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. I highly recommend it, especially since we're kind of going to be going to a slight first party drought. Saying that because I didn't want you guys to, oh, Mortal Kombat's coming out. Yes, I know, Mortal Kombat's coming out. First party drought. So. If you're a Switch owner, I would highly recommend getting Yoshi's Crafted World. It's a lot of fun. It's really adorable, and I still think it's Bowser Jr. I'm sorry.
But it's not.
It's not. It's totally not, and I mentioned that in my review, but it sucks that it's not. I'm like, why don't you say Bowser Jr.? It looks just like him. I'm not bitter.
No, I mean, it does look just like him, and yet it's not. Baby Bowser. Baby Bowser.
It's
fun
terrible.
Fact, and it's Baby Bowser in most of the Mario parties as well.
What?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, Mario
but
Party
Bowser is in the Mario Party games.
What's up?
But Bowser is in the Mario Party games.
I know. It's confusing, but it is Baby Bowser in those as well.
That's just... can I call Doctor Who to get an explanation for these timey-wimey, you know, holes in reality? Not black holes in reality, because we all know what those look like now.
I stick by the idea that all the Mario games in that universe are just shows, and they just cast the different characters, so there's really no, you know, you could have the baby Mario and Mario playing tennis, there's just two different castings, and they're both in the same game.
Possibly. But aside from that, ironically, I was supposed to be playing the Ace Attorney trilogy, which obviously I've played with before 1,000 times. But I was eager to get it on Switch, and then we got a review code for it via our colleague Mace, and I couldn't play it because it was an Australian code.
Wow.
Yeah, and apparently, like, it doesn't work in the U.S. because technically the game's not out in Australia. So he's trying to work that out for me, but. I love the Ace Attorney trilogy and series, as you all hopefully know, if not more than, you know, we play the Godot theme for our Nintendo discussion, because it's one of the greatest musical tracks ever created. Shut up, Tyler. I know you're going to say something
disagree.
About Sonic. I know you're going to put, like, a Sonic. Oh, Sonic's got some great tracks, too. I don't care that you like Sonic, Tyler.
I never disagreed with that. I do enjoy our Nintendo discussion music, yes. But actually I didn't realize that's where it was from.
Yeah, it's the Godot theme. It's every time he drinks his coffee. That's the song
well,
that plays.
Well, I figured that was it because, you know, you always say, I've got my 17
cups of coffee. It's one of my rules. Yeah. But no, I was really intrigued to play this because, you know, when you play it on the DS screen, it's small, you know, but you don't mind because it's a point-and-click adventure lawyer title mystery game. So it's a lot of things, really. But I was eager to play it on the slightly bigger screen of the Switch. So hopefully we get this worked out. But, it's fine because I've been watching Game of Thrones, so time well spent. Yeah, and again, I was really happy with Yoshi. It was really really fun. So now I just gotta wait for my next experience. I probably will get Mortal Kombat just because I'm intrigued. But whether I do or not, it just depends because I got a lot of things going on. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Yeah, we gotta get Mortal Kombat and play that together. I'm sure that should be good stuff. I have not been playing a ton. I've been pretty busy, but I played a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of Smash Bros. To unwind, I guess, yesterday, and I decided to pick up my old friend Diddy Kong. I love that character, as always, and it's just such a frustrating experience trying to fight with him, going up against these other characters like Pikachu and Pichu and Peach, who just have a stupid, ridiculous combos, ridiculous damage, and then Diddy Kong is up smash and forward smash, and all he can't kill until like 120, and his moves do like 7%. You have to outplay your opponent, like, just by so much to win with this character, and I am willing to play as Diddy even and lose just because I love playing as the character, but I just keep getting into Elite Smash and then kicked out of Elite Smash, and into Elite Smash, kicked out of Elite Smash, and it's frustrating because I know that I'm better than that, and it's just, gosh, I really hope that this new update comes out soon and balances the game. There's, I like Ultimate a lot, but I think it's much more fun if you play the stronger characters, because playing as the weaker characters, they're horribly created. Like, Diddy's hitboxes are, they just don't even match up visually on screen. Like, you'll kick someone and then I've had replays where I'll pause and zoom in and see my foot on the guy's face and it just doesn't detect it. And yet, you know, Pichu's little forward tilt, it goes so far and it kills you at 40% if it catches you off the side. It's just such a poorly balanced game. And I know you have such a big roster, so it's difficult. So I don't really blame them. They needed to get it out. So I didn't expect it to be perfect at launch. But I'm so sick of waiting for this 3.0 update. I have a lot of changes I would like to see. I don't know if you guys saw, I retweeted from the NET channel, the Inkling grab. Inkling?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's like you can check out the NEP Twitter handle, NEP Podcast. Yes, there's two P's despite the P's, and NEP standing for podcast. Anyway, the standing grab, he grabs like the person through their shield right on, like it's touching the person, and the grab just doesn't work. Like, it just, I don't understand how some of that stuff happened. But I still, you know, enjoyed the little bit of that I played. It's a fun game. It's hard to mess up a Smash Bros. Game. And if I get tired of losing, I just go and pick Marth, who's one of those stronger characters, and then win a few times and feel better about myself.
なるほど。なるほど。
All right, Will, how about you?
Well, for me, again, like you, Todd, it's really not much I've been playing. Again, I've been continuing on, tracking on with Trails of Cold Steel, currently hitting on Chapter 4. Just passed it to the midterms, so yeah, doing that, just currently grinding a little bit. Naturally, I've also been playing a bit of Fade, going to the new band of the King of the Lagoos, which I know you're very exciting, Ty.
I literally, and I hate to cut you off, but I literally like screamed so loud when I saw we were getting Galia, because you know we got Tibarn, we got Nissala, and we got you know the, some of the like the wolf skins and the kitsunes,
Right,
and
right, right.
those are cool, and we got Toggwhel and all that. But I was like, I want my Lagias, I want my Galias, and then we got all the four big ones, and I was like, awesome. And then I pumped like 180 orbs, and all I got was Leif. Yeah, I was
Dang.
terrible. I got Thea, you know, who's from the last big banner, so I glad I got a new character, but I wanted the Lagias, and I was hoping for another. If you remember Raphael and that banner, I got all four of them in like 120 orbs, and this time I did 180, I got one, so whatever.
RNG,
Yeah,
RNGs, man,
RNG.
RNGs, yes, and all that. So yeah, I'm basically also just trying to hope I can pray to RNGs. I get something. For me, I'm just kind of actually trying to go for the king of the Lagoos, honestly, just trying to get him the great. Of course, great is obviously the best one, but due to that big pool of uselessness, is like, yeah, I do not want to go to Grey Hill again. So yeah, hope that. And of course, also preparing for this coming weekend or day by the time you're listening to this is playing Tetris 99 because there is a second Maximus Cup that is happening currently right now on the weekend. So I'm basically trying to practice myself. I get so into it, and unfortunately, there are times like I don't know, when you start the match, you're like, okay, I'm doing good, I'm doing good, and then there's one forge, and now the lasers just point at you. It's like, oh boy, this is
Yeah.
gonna be one of those times,
Yeah.
and it's just like, come on, like, okay, I'm doing good, and then everyone, once you reach that top building and all the lasers point at you, like, oh come on, like, oh, you want some, and if you could actually can come back from that top half and everyone's laser at you, can really KO a lot of people, which again, I enjoy Tetris 99, but in the end of the day, Tetris 99 is basically Tetris. So heck, if you like, again, for me, it's just good luck to all the Tetris 99 players out there going for the second Maximus Cup, and heck, hopefully I finally earn some victories aside from just one victory from the last cup. And yeah, just not to go off tangent just a bit lately, but also in Treasure Coast here, and this could be said for any other game as well, like, don't you hate it when there's like a point of no return in games?
To
Like when there's
explain.
like for example, like when you're trying to like scan monsters, scan bosses of that sort, and you can only scan them that one time, and if you forget to scan them during that moment, you can't get them again unless you go to a new game plus or start the entire game all over. Like those point of no returns in video games.
Yeah,
Oh
but I mean,
man.
like, that's not really a point of no return. If you forget to scan a boss character, then it shouldn't really matter because you're not gonna face the boss again.
Yeah, but
Right,
you want to
right.
add it to that you know, your catalog log to break out that
Yes,
cultural
and
reference.
in the catalog, and as well, if it concerns like a trophy on PS4, like yeah, if
Yeah.
it has like an in-game trophy, they can scan all the monsters, including bosses and secret bosses.
Well,
That's like, I don't know, that's a really like a tick for me. Like,
I agree. I'm
I got
with
to
you, girl.
scan
I hate
that. I
that.
hate that. I hate that.
But that's also on you though, because
No, sometimes it's not though. Sometimes they don't tell you that, oh, this is your last chance. But if
Right,
it's a
right, right.
boss character, you should always assume. And if it was, you have to scan. And if the trophy literally says you have to scan every monster, then the first thing you should do in every battle is scan the bloody monster, just in
Yeah, but
case
you're
you
not
don't.
always going to remember because you're fallible.
Right. And of course,
And
like,
then
it
you
was
have to
too.
play the whole game again because you forgot something that small. I agree. That's
And like
poor
especially
design.
that detail, like that detail, like I'm glad like some of the later games in the industry like they don't have too much points of no returns. But I mean, back in the day when the old classic games, like, okay, you either do this right now or you don't get it forever until you start a new game. It's like, ugh, that's like a little pet peeve of mine that I've just encountered recently.
Are you guys
Wait,
there?
did you hear that? Did you hear that? That's the world's smallest violin, and it's playing just for you. It's all right. Let's just move on. All right. So we started off this week with the hope of big news. There was rumors of a Nintendo Direct, you know, being Reggie's last one, and then the Joker reveal, and blah blah blah. Yeah, that didn't happen, and we know for a fact it's not happening tomorrow because we would have found out by now. So there honestly hasn't been too much big news, so we're just going to talk a little bit of little news. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. All right, we're going to start off with a story that did happen, didn't happen, and we're still waiting on it to happen. You follow that? I'm not saying it again. All right. Octopath Traveler, a game we all enjoyed, we were all very hyped for, and it very much paid off, was released last year on the Nintendo Switch. It sold over 1.5 million copies, rave reviews, nominated for numerous awards, etc., etc., etc. And then today, a blog post on the Square Enix site stated that Octopath Traveler was going to be coming to Steam and the Square Enix store. And then it wasn't, because the blog post was deleted so thoroughly you couldn't even find it on like the Wayback Machines that the internet has to find such deleted websites and pages. So yeah, that happened. And it's not on Steam right now. We had someone go check. It is not on Steam right now. And it's supposedly supposed to come out to Steam on June 7th, according to the blog post. But we don't know if that's true, because we don't know what happened to the blog post outside of Square Enix deleting it. Was it a false start, to use a football term? Was it an accident? Although that's kind of a big accident to make when you write out a whole blog post about it. So, and then a lot of people are wondering why it's coming to Steam and all that, which I have a simple idea as to why. But what do you guys make of all this?
Yeah, like, I mean, Square Enix is definitely one of those weird companies, and especially recently, it's because they also like lost its some like prominent figures. Because I know the Tales producer Hideo Baba used to work with them. Now he left the company, so Square Enix is kind of in that interesting situation. I mean, what the heck is going on there? I have no idea. But regarding to Octopath Traveler, it's like, okay, come bring it to Steam. I mean, again, if people like to, I mean, again, we'll bring more people to experience Octopath Traveler. I'm happy for that. Come to Steam? Okay, sure, no problem. But now take the blog post out of it. Because also some people have been reporting that it was only originally for Korea as well. Mm. And now this blog post is current gone now. Like, okay, is it, as you said, a false start? Is it just like a leak or like, allegedly, like, I have no idea what the heck is going on in Square Enix headquarters right now. Are they purposely trying to, like, set something? I don't know. It's really crazy over there, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm glad that they're bringing it to other platforms. I mean, we assume that they're going to do it. It's been a Switch exclusive for almost a year at this point, so that's plenty of time. I just hope that the sequel is also gets us the same kind of treatment, because if they end up releasing it at the same time on other platforms, then that would be a blow to the Switch. But having it come out 9 months later is totally fine.
Yeah, I think this is quite simply, it's just a business move, because like Tyler said, Octopath Traveler, it came out in July last year, July 13th, I believe, and you know it did really well. Square Enix was very, very happy with it. Again, they're making the sequel. Then there's a prequel coming out to mobile platforms, which is fine. And I do believe that the sequel will be Switch exclusive. That's the sequel. That's the upgraded model. It goes from the Switch to the Squitch. All right? And soon it will be Quidditch.
I was about to say.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think the sequel will come to the Switch. And that's fine, but for right now, when you have the opportunity to expand it in just a subtle way, and of course Steam and the Square Enix store reaches a lot of PCs, I'm fine with it, because if it sells even just, you know, 500,000 on PC, which I think is very doable, it's not like, you know, a super powered, you know, RPG. That was never its deal. It was old school, retro RPG with a, you know, 2.5 HD thing, which would easily run on Steam without much issue. I think a lot of, you know, older computers can play that that game, no problem. So even if you sell like 500,000, that brings the lifetime total to 2 million, which is another great accomplishment for the title, and all the more reason to make a sequel, which we know is happening. So now, as for this whole blog post, it's coming, it's not, it's Korea, it's not, I have no idea what to make of this. All right, we've all seen like leaks and rumors and all that, but this is it was confirmed that this happened. There are pictures of it being on the Square Enix site, and then Square Enix like took it down. So I don't know what's going on over there, but hopefully they get clarification soon, because I know that there are some people out there who would want this game on PC, and that's fine.
Right.
I'm just surprised that we haven't seen it listed on other consoles. You know, I feel like it at some point will make its way over to the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4.
I actually would disagree. I think that given their relationship with Nintendo, that this will be a console exclusive to the Switch. Because
Kingdom Hearts 3 didn't come to the Switch, and Square still has that same relationship with Nintendo.
Yes, but as they explain, it's the same situation with Final Fantasy 15. A lot of people wanted that on Switch, but because of the graphics engine, there was a problem transferring that to the Switch. They noted that, and it was the same thing with Kingdom Hearts. They said that they could do it, but that it would take a lot of extra effort, and obviously after, 13 years, they were kind of concerned of getting it on PS4 and Xbox One first.
Right, but their relationship with Nintendo isn't special compared to their relationship with Microsoft and Sony. So they would bring that game over there if they thought that it would make them money, which I think it would, and I think they think it would. I feel like we'll probably see that announced at some point.
I take that bet that I wouldn't, but we'll discuss that another time. All right, so in other apparently big news, this might be a Will subject here. God Eater 3 is coming to Switch, and I don't remember God Eater 1 or 2.
No, me neither.
Well, to be fair, because again, the God Eater series is kind of like a niche series as well. It's kind of like going alongside of Monster Hunter World and other like Monster Hunter-esque kind of games like Tokiden and other sorts. And God Eater 1 and 2 have only appeared on either PlayStation, on the Sony consoles, on PSP, PS3, PS4, and so forth. And originally it came out on the PS4, which it did pretty decently. I mean, again, if you like something else that is not Monster Hunter, but more apocalyptic kind of view with basically biological swords that eat the Otagamis and all that, like, it's a very interesting series to say the least. So to hear the news of God Eater 3 coming to the Switch is kind of surprising to say the least, because again, it always has been generally been a Sony exclusive kind of deal. So to hear it coming to Switch, it's kind of good news if you have a Switch owner. So heck, if you love God Eater, then definitely look forward to God Eater 3 coming to Switch.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard about this, I was like, okay, that's cool. And then we were trying to discuss, you know, what would be our main event tonight, and Koopa Keith came over and was like, God Eater 3 for Switch! I'm like, I mean, that's a title, it's not like a main event title. He goes, no, it is a main event title if you know you do this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, yeah, sure, Keith, yeah, right, sure.
I mean, to be fair, because again, as you know, Monster Hunter and the other type in the same genre, they're very popular in Japan. And
oh, yeah.
It's only recently with Monster Hunter World, it got popular here on the West side. So
yep.
Now,
best-selling games of 2018.
So now, like, the popping of like Monster Hunter S games like God Eater and Tokiden now, like, bring kind of like starting to like raise awareness of this genre. It's like, okay, so we got variety now, so it's variety.
I like how you say that, raising awareness. It's like a foundation. Hello, I'm Todd Black for God Eater 3. Do you believe in hunting monsters, but do you want it in a post-apocalyptic setting? Then join the God Eater 3 initiative.
right. And again, like, for God Eaters, I mean, again, comparing to Monster Hunter, I mean, just briefly, because again, Monster Hunter World is Monster Hunter, a separate class. While with God Eater, it's pretty much also a form of, you can go multi-class. So, and the fact that all weapons have a gun. So think kind of similar to Ruby in a way as well. Like, every single blade you have, it also serves as a gun laser. So yeah. So I think
not just a gun, gun laser.
So maybe something you made, like, Todd. So, yeah. And then again, and plus the fact that your weapon is also a bow weapon, because it actually can eat the corpses of your enemies to gain items and materials. So it's kind of interesting to say the least. So if you overall, just like, if you if something that intrigues your interest, then definitely give it a shot, and or just even try the PS4 version demo right now.
Okay, I'm just gonna move on now because this is getting weird. All right, so today this is gonna sound offbeat news, but I promise it's gonna tie back into this. So Disney, you know, House of Mouse, that kind of thing. Disney Revealed in full their Disney Plus program, all of their Star Wars and Disney and Marvel and National Geographic, which I don't know why that's a focus on Disney Plus, but let's just roll with it for now. And they did a whole bunch of unveils, confirmed certain series that have already been known about for years, because this is the internet and we already know everything, most likely, except for Game of Thrones. Thank God. You know, am I right, Tyler, that we don't need to know everything about Game of Thrones Season 8?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, listen, I know what happens, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not gonna spoil it for you guys.
Yeah. Anyway, so while they were doing it, they were unveiling all the ways you can watch it. And on one slide, they showed just about every gaming platform out there right now. Now, officially, they only confirmed the PS4. But if you looked at the picture, they have the Xbox One and the Nintendo Switch there. Which seems to mean that we will get Disney Plus as a streaming service on the Nintendo Switch.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I'm happy about that for sure.
Oh, I love it. I mean, the Switch is a mobile platform. The Switch is, you know, multi-purpose instead of just being like a laptop or whatever, which I know is a multi-purpose thing, but still. So, you know, you can play games and then, hey, I want to watch, you know, Lady and the Tramp, because everyone wants that in live action, obviously.
Or how about we finally see the old classic anime film of Lion King, which we just had a live action as well.
Yeah, I got mixed feelings on that. Anyway, but I agree, this is a big thing. And, you know, there a lot of people have been asking for, you know, streaming services on Switch. We have, what do we have? Don't we have Hulu?
No, I don't think we have anything right now.
No, we don't have anything besides YouTube, yes.
Oh, well, then there you go. So Disney is beating out Netflix, which... Disney needs to beat out Netflix, if you know what I mean. And so, like, them coming to the Switch and, you know, again, they haven't officially confirmed it, but they showed the Switch, and they actually show Disney Plus on the Switch, so clearly they meant something by it. But if we can get that streaming service on there, then heck yeah, because I am very interested in it, especially with all the Marvel shows that they're talking about and all that. So... yeah, I mean, that's just, it's the subtle, it's the small deals, you know, it's these small little things like getting God Eater or getting Mortal Kombat, which we're going to talk about in a second, and then getting Disney to bring their streaming service on here. That's good stuff, and that just makes the Switch an even better platform.
Right. It's in the fact of accessibility as well, because, like, yeah, with YouTube, Hulu, Twitch, like, we expect these things to, like, more or less kind of be commonplace now. It's just being very accessible from smartphone devices to our game systems. I mean, again, it's to the point that we're just so connected to the service. It's like, it's really, you really can't escape it, to say the least. So for Disney to move on to, like, yeah, bring their services to Nintendo Switch is, and outbeating, like, yeah, Twitch, Hulu, Netflix, place it on the service. Like, it shows initiative on Disney's part. So, yeah, again, accessibility.
So, we'll see how it goes. And if we get, like, super official confirmation, we'll let you know. But
I wish that I could watch all of the Marvel movies before Endgame on my Switch right now. Because I want to watch everyone leading up to it again. And in addition to watching all of Game of Thrones, I'm just not going to have time, because I guess Endgame comes out in how many days?
2 weeks. 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah, so I mean, that would be a day.
Officially, unofficially, two weeks tomorrow, Friday the 12th. But officially, unofficially, 2 weeks tonight.
It would be so much easier to binge it if I just could bring my Switch with me everywhere and watch movies on the go. But... the service has yet to be.
Yeah, it's not. When was the official release date? Let me ask. Okay, it doesn't have it on this piece. They did give a release date though, and it's like sooner rather than later. And they did confirm that Captain Marvel, the Marvel version, not the DC version, will be there on day one when it launches, which is actually, you know, a big score for them. So, but then again, they also own it, so it'd be kind of odd if they didn't. But whatever. So. All right, not ironically, let's talk about Captain Marvel, because Captain Marvel and Shazam, the real Captain Marvel, wink, did battle on Death Battle. And want to guess who won, children? The original Captain Marvel! I'm not gloating at all! No, Shazam is my favorite superhero character, so of course I was rooting for him, but I've got nothing against Carol. But the reason I'm talking about this isn't because of that, but it's because of the next death battle that's coming out. For the first time in quite a while, we are having an all-Nintendo death battle. King Dedede versus Wario.
Oh, that's a blowout.
Oh, really? For
yes.
Who?
King Dedede.
Wow, uh-oh. Interesting.
King Dedede for free.
I'm telling you that a lot of people are mad about this fight because they think it's a blowout for Wario.
I mean, Wario is he's done a lot of hilariously comic things in the WarioWare games, but no, King Dedede is a Kirby character. A Kirby character wins.
That is the logic. But then again, if you recall the Mario Sonic death battle, Mario is a freaking powerhouse, and Wario has gone toe to toe with Mario. So it's really the question of who might be tougher, Mario or Kirby?
Kirby.
Yeah, probably Kirby.
Right, again, we already know that Kirby is one of the most deadliest creatures in Nintendo's arsenal. Yeah. But yeah, thinking about Wario, I still remember going to Super Mario Strikers Charge and how Wario is just like, he's Wario. And the fact you, Todd, you gave me Wario as my namesake is like, like, Wario versus King Dedede is going to be an interesting fight, to say the least. Because the only thing I'm just going to think about is because, again, his form of Wario Man is probably going to be a...
That's the wild card here.
But it's limited. It's limited. It is. It stays Wario Man forever.
And he has to eat, like, a specific onion or something like that. And, you know, King Dedede has his own powers. He can summon, like, the Gordos and the Waddle Dees, and his hammer is rocket-powered and all that stuff.
And I wonder if they're going to do also, like, with Star Allies, where he becomes so swole, I wonder.
Oh, yeah, swole DDD. I don't know, but it's curious. Death Battle has said that this season they're doing a lot of... They're going to do fan-requested matches, but then they're doing ones that they think would be fun, and it hasn't seemed that way at times, but between the Mega Man Battle Royale, which was really fun, and now King Dedede Wario, I do see what they're going for here. It's because I did not see this coming, because I'm always looking forward to seeing who's coming next. And so, yeah, King Dedede Wario. Oh boy. I can't wait for them to calculate the math and science behind the fart nuclear bomb.
Oh, yes.
Because that's canon. That's Super Smash Bros. Canon. That is his finishing move, is the fart bomb from Brawl. So I can't wait for Wiz and Boomstick to calculate that. And then Boomstick's probably going to try and do his own. So why not?
And I'm just wondering how big Mario's mouth is. Because, again, we're talking King Dedede and Wario, who is comparably big mouth size. I wonder how it's going to big their mouth is, I wonder.
Well... That is a good question, because if you recall, Kirby is technically only 8 inches tall. So that is canon size. Forget Smash Brothers. His canon size is 8 inches tall.
Right.
So DDD is taller than Kirby.
That would make DDD like 2 feet tall.
2 or 3 feet tall. Yeah, but at most. So it's tricky. So because that would mean that Wario is easily bigger than DDD. And yet it doesn't look that way when you see him in Smash Brothers. It's so confusing.
Yes, inconsistencies.
Very much so. So I look forward to this. And we'll definitely be talking about this more as we get closer to. We might even do our little pre-Death Battle, since this is an all-Nintendo fight. We'll see how the news breaks down. But it's on April... Let's see. It's like they said 29th. Okay, 29th for members, and the 1st of May for... YouTube member. So yes, we're going to start off May with a Nintendo battle. Why not? I'm excited. I think this is going to be a 2D fight, though, so you know it's going to be a little bit limited, but hey, the Kirby Majin Buu fight is still one of my favorite 2D death battles ever. It's classic. And if you haven't seen the Kirby death battle, go and see it. It's awesome. Oh, just on a side note, one of the people who weren't happy about the fight, they said Wario versus Sly Cooper, and I'm still waiting for Sly Cooper Rocket Raccoon, but the only reason I think they said that was because Sly Cooper is a thief and Wario is a thief and they both love gold and all that, and I'm like, I actually think Wario would win that one, but Sly's got some like time stopping tricks, so it'd be tricky, but I just thought that was like kind of random.
Right. Right. It's just so different. Like, there's too many factors. It's not like the same category
No.
yet, aside from the fact we love money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but Tyler, you'll appreciate this. Another person recommended the obvious DDD matchup, King DDD versus King K. Rool.
Yeah, I was wondering if that would be where you were gonna go with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like the revenge match, you know. Try and kill me in your trailer, will you?
I mean, King DDD would crush K. Rool. K. Rool's not, his feats are probably not that impressive, but
Yeah.
yeah.
I would
I
agree with
mean,
that
Wario has
because
some stupid stuff. Now that I think about it, I think in like Wario Land 3, like you can just get like hit by anything and just not die.
yeah,
Like I think Wario has like unlimited life, so maybe Wario wins.
it's tricky. It's all about how you interpret feats. Like someone once told someone in the comments of the episode said that as long as Wario is greedy, he's invincible. And yet, I remember playing Mario and the Six Golden Coins on the Game Boy, amazing title, and we beat Wario, like we beat him
Right.
definitively. So clearly, he can lose. It's just, you
That's why I
know.
just don't like Death Battle, to be honest. Like it's just like the gaps of logic that are fine because they're video games. You don't really need to have Wario be able to, you know, take a battering ram to the heart and not care, or, you know, get jumped on by Mario 3 times and then he dies. Like that's just you can't measure it honestly.
There are some obvious extrapolations, but
I
I
mean,
still
it's fun.
enjoy it.
It's definitely fun
It's
to just
fun. It's fun, and they do put real science, you know, and math
That's it.
to
I
it.
wish they didn't do the real science, because there is no real science to video games. I mean,
But yeah, but
they're
there
made
is
up.
like
Like it was
when.
just like, oh, I think that this character would win, and here's why. That's fun to me. I'm down. But like,
But then that's not. But then
definitively,
anyone can do that. That's literally
yeah.
why
Well,
they did
anyone
it. It was
can do
because
it.
everyone does that. We could do that here, like we did when we did
Yeah.
the Ike Link battle. You know, we could
Yeah.
say, "Oh, we think they win," but they're literally put science to it and say, "This is why they would win."
Okay, but how do they account for the gaps in logic that we just pointed out? That's a
They
sign like that
find
you have to
they.
come you have to approach that from a if you're approaching it from a scientific standpoint, you can't overlook that.
They say that they look for comparable feats and ones that are supported by canon. So, for example, like in the Mario Sonic rematch, they talked about how Mario in one of his games lifted and kicked one of Bowser's castles, which means he
Yes.
kicked everything in it. And so they went by the maps of the game, the scale of Mario, his confirmed height,
And you see how stupid that is,
it
right?
is stupid,
Because
but it's hilariously awesomely stupid
do
that they can think about all the layers of that castle and then.
they explain how, like, how do they account for the fact that the castle is like only twice as big as Mario in that image? Do they
Because
account for that part?
they're accounting for the fact that we see only one dimension, and yet inside the castle we clearly go to all these different rooms. So they took like the literal maps of the castle, extrapolated their size, put that in context of the castle with a certain stone composition, going a low stone base to, you know, get like
How do
a
they know that the Mushroom Kingdom stone doesn't weigh nothing?
if it weighed no I'm not even gonna answer that. That's just a
Because you
stupid
can't.
question.
That's the thing. It's a counterpoint to the idea that you could somehow do science of Mario kicking a castle. I didn't even know they did that, and that's just even
Okay,
more
well, fine.
ridiculous to me.
How about this? They did a feat of a similar size where Mario lifted a giant golden chain chomp.
Yeah.
Definitively gold. And so they know the size of a chain chomp. They compared this giant chain chomp to the weight of gold, which is definitive in every single dimension. Gold is gold. And they extrapolated the weight based on the size, and they could say that Mario lifted this amount of weight. Because they know the weight of gold and they know how to calculate its weight based on size. And it was similar to the castle feat, apparently.
I mean, I would say like the same point though. How do they know how much gold weighs and what
Because
continues?
it's
Do they
called
know it?
gold! It's literally called gold
Okay,
coins! Gold is
but it
gold!
doesn't have to be gold. Like
It
like
said
it doesn't have
gold!
to
It's
be
a golden
our
chain
version
chomp!
of gold. It is entirely subjective. You know, like those
You're
feats are
subjective!
cartoonish. Those feats are cartoonish feats that aren't meant to be taken scientifically.
You're a cart.
Scientifically, they would be impossible.
Yeah, you're a cartoonish feat that's impossible. Okay, can we just move on? All right, but seriously, Wario versus DDD, 3 weeks from now, basically, and we will be talking about this more because I'm doing research for my YouTube show, Todd Talk, and I definitely want to talk. I want you guys to do research too to see who you think is going to win, because unlike, you know, Captain Marvel, Shazam, or Aquaman, Namor, Black Widow, Widowmaker, the Mega Man Battle Royal, I do not have an opinion on this one because I like both characters, but I don't know right now who is stronger and who's going to win. So do your own research and we'll get back to this.
Well, firstly, for me, again, you, due to you giving me the namesake, I got to go with Wario for the time being right
now.
Don't
have to. Like, I was a big fan of... let's see. Let's pick one match that I... like Batman. In season 4, they had Batman versus Black Panther. I love Batman with all I got. I knew he was going to lose to Black Panther. You choose who you think is going to win. Bias has no place in Death Battle. That's why I had a losing streak one time, because I let my bias get ahead of me. All right, I picked Bane versus Venom. What was I thinking?
I know.
It was just, I liked the idea that Bane could win, and he didn't, and it was horrible.
Who's your gut pick for Wario versus DDD?
I would say DDD just because he goes toe-to-toe with Kirby, and Kirby is a freaking powerhouse.
Yeah.
So right now my pick is DDD, but it's just my gut reaction. So, all right, moving on. Welcome to the Death Battle Entertainment Podcast. Now, next up, Mortal Kombat 11.
Mm.
So, the premium edition has been revealed, and in it, you'll get the main game and the combat pack. Not surprising, but the combat pack has 6 DLC characters, which we now know the first DLC is Shang Tsung. So, it means we got 5 more coming out over the next however long. You'll get 1 week early access to DLC characters exclusive to the combat pack, 7 exclusive character skins, and 7 exclusive sets of gear. And the premium edition will cost $100.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
I know. Well, if you think about it, it's $60 for the main game. And then, so that's $40 for the 6 new characters, early access to them, the character skins, and the gear. So if you divide that up, it's actually somewhat fair. Yeah.
And that, I mean, just briefly as well, like, regard to, like, the collector's edition of the games, like, do you feel like there'll be some times when they are worth it? I mean, personally for me, like, I don't mind, like, paying a little bit more if I have, like, extra goodies, like, with the Persona 5 collector's edition or with the My Vicarious Chronicles collectors. Like, they have, like, little figures and all that, even though, like, DLCs, if they're in-game DLCs, okay, I don't mind putting, like, more plus an art book, it's always nice. But you feel like these collectors are, like, generally worth it? I mean, look at Mortal Kombat 11's case.
Yeah, I never do, like, these special editions. Like, the only time I'm ever going to get a battle pass is for Smash Brothers, which we need to hear about sometime this century.
It's got to be Atlus. It's got to be Atlus's timing. That's my theory, is that Atlus wants to announce it, or they want them to release Joker when they announce Persona 5 for Switch, and that's what's holding this up. Like, it's got to be, admittedly, you know, the planning of announcing it at the Game Awards never made practical sense, I guess, because if he was going to be ready, and they were up front, they said that he was only in the early development stages.
Yeah, they said that the animated trailer was the only thing they could do because of how early it was, but they wanted to do it before the release of the game.
Right. So, I mean, maybe it's not that, but I kind of hope that it is. You know, if it's just they just drop him and they don't announce Persona 5 for Switch, I'm going to be so frustrated. All of this waiting would be worth it if we got that announcement, but if we don't get that announcement, not so much.
So, we'll see. Now, I want to talk about this because I thought it was very interesting. Ed Boon did an interview about Mortal Kombat as a series, and he was asked, what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions about the series in the eyes of fans and other gamers? And he goes that it's only about the violence. Now, obviously, violence is one of the things that separates Mortal Kombat, but he notes, if it was only about the violence and they only were here for the gore, they wouldn't have been here for 25 years. You know, you can't just impress people with new fatalities every version of the game. It has to be deeper than that. And I thought that was very interesting because, obviously, when you think of Mortal Kombat, you think of the fatalities, especially in Mortal Kombat 11 and, you know, all the ways that they kill each other. And what do you think about his thoughts on how it's got to be more about the violence because you can't keep players that way?
Like, For me, it is kind of in a bit of a balance because, again, that's the also one thing that I like about Mortal Kombat 1, like, is because, again, it's just this overarching story, if anything else. I mean, there, of course, there'll be some that, like, hit or miss, like, of Deception or Armageddon, like, those stories, like, just completely off the balls, bonkers, especially with the, like, separate character endings. But for me, that, I mean, gore is one thing because, again, that was, like, back to the products of the 90s, which single-handedly was responsible to creating the ESRB ratings. But yeah, I mean, gore is part of it, but at the same time, it's like there's a lot of factors. Like the fact that one is from the 90s and just kind of grew up with you, like from costumes to designs and like just the universe itself. Like that, for me, that's why I like about Mortal Kombat, just like the universe of it all.
Yeah, I think that he's right. I mean, the characters are really, really cool, and they keep people coming back, and new characters get people excited. But I like Mortal Kombat just because I think it's the best fighting game of the best, I guess, 2D fighting game. And I even like it more than Soul Calibur too. I guess that's a 3D fighting game. But yeah, I mean, it's so much more than just the gore. The mechanics are great. The lore is great. There's a rich backstory that you can really dive into and enjoy. Obviously, it's all about the fighting at the end, and that over-the-top violence does make the series stand out. But nobody would play those games if they weren't just phenomenal, fundamental games. Did we talk about the new character that was released last week?
Oh, collector?
A collector.
That
Yeah.
character's stupid. I want to
Okay.
say I don't like that character. His fatality was the laziest. He just like punches them and claws them with his
It's
arms.
pretty much Milena's MK10's fatality. Yeah.
It was weak. It was a very weak fatality and a very weak character overall. I was not impressed with him.
Yeah, compared to who was our avatar character?
Cetrion. He
Cetrion.
was
Yeah,
cool. That's my
she
main
was cool.
she
She.
she.
Yeah, it's Korra, not Aang. And you know, yeah, compared to her, yeah, it was kind of weak. I liked the idea of like all his arms and that he has like the bag that he pulls weapons out of, and then at the end he actually like collects like their heads and puts in the bag. That was kind of cool.
Yes.
But yeah, I could see why people are thinking he's a little bit lame.
Yeah, I mean, we already have like Shiva, and Shiva was already lame. Goro was the
Hey,
sage.
no, hey, speak for yourself about Shiva.
She was so lame.
Hey.
Yeah, she was trash. She was a stupid character. Her jump move, I hate it. I hate her
Oh,
jump
those are
move.
fighting, let's
And yeah, she's trash. And
fight.
I would feast upon Shivas in Mortal Kombat 9's online.
Oh, please,
But
if anything else, Shiva in Mortal Kombat 10 was like probably one of the best fatalities. She rips your arms off and more or less itch slap you with your own arms while just like, yeah, how you like that? How you like that? With
that
that
was pretty
sense of
cool. You're not wrong.
attitude.
That was Mortal Kombat 9, though, right? I don't think she was in 10.
She was not in 10. She was not in 10.
Yeah, it was in 9. Okay, yeah. No, but if they were going to bring back another forearm character, if they were going to add a forearm character, I forget what their race is, I would have rather it been Goro or Shiva than Collector. And
I mean,
Goro,
hey, bring back
obviously, is the
Goro, yeah.
best,
Of
but.
course. Of course. Of course, Goro's Goro. I mean,
Yeah,
the dragon.
Goro is eternal. Goro is eternal. Yeah, but I'm with you guys. It's in regards to the content of Mortal Kombat. Yeah, the violence is what helps it separate, especially in 11, with the literal level of detail that go in the gore and the breaking of bones and every other thing in the body. But like Tyler said, it's got a rich backstory with all the realms, the elder gods, which are now even more involved with 11. With what's her name again, Will? Avatar?
Cetrion.
Cetrion.
Cetri Cetrion.
Such a hard name to remember. Cetrion, and of course Shinnok is involved, now Raiden and all of them, Kronika, you know, the Time Master and all that. It's so rich in story, and they're not afraid to go big. And I think that's the difference between some of these games is that, you know, Tekken's got a deep story and Street Fighter kinda's got a deep story, but then Mortal Kombat just isn't afraid to go balls to the wall and say, yeah, we're gonna do it this way. And oh yeah, we're bringing two Johnny Cages together because we can. So yeah, I'm with Ed Boon on this one, and he knows he's been in this industry so long that he knows that it can't just be a simple gameplay gimmick that intrigues fans because eventually that gimmick's gonna wear out.
Mm-mm-mm. True,
Yeah.
true, true, yes.
All right, moving on. Yoshi's Crafted World, I just want to talk about this briefly because some people didn't believe me when I talked about how difficult the game was. And yet the very people that made the game noted how difficult it was. Because he goes, we want people to enjoy Yoshi's World that we've created. We are aiming for a difficulty that allows players to have fun, even though the game is designed around collecting flowers in order to advance the next area. And within, of course, not only flowers, but also Poochie Pups and the reverse side and everything. Moving on, he goes, we wanted the same play challenge as the original Yoshi's Island. I think there were maybe some also some players who wanted to enjoy the world, but also find the gameplay bewildering. Because of that, we thought about how we could help those players using the more casual Yoshi, which is why they have the mellow mode, where you just, like, fly through. If you thought the scuttle jump was cheating, Tyler, do mellow mode. You don't even have to scuttle jump. You just fly through that crap. So, trust me, they made it difficult, but they also wanted to make it fun, and they did that.
I think by scuttle jump, you mean...
It's technically for Yoshi, it's not called the skull jump. That's actually Luigi's move that he does. But it's the ha move.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that was better.
And you're right, you can spam that move to oblivion, and I did do that to save myself a couple of times, but it doesn't make the game infinitely easier because you still got, you know, find the flowers and check for clues and all of that. So the game is difficult, and that's that.
Hold on. You can't call the game difficult and have any pride. You can't call it difficult. You could say that there is challenge to be found here.
Well, but then what's your definition of difficult? Because I define difficult as not a cakewalk and yet not Dark Souls.
No, Dark Souls is challenging. Dark Souls is difficult.
Oh, gosh.
Difficult and challenging are synonyms.
Depends on how you
difficult,
look at it.
Like that. Okay, so like you want to say like, and you want to put it to like a star ranking. Difficult would be like 4 out of 5 stars. Challenging would be like 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
And then insane would be like 5 out of 5. But like difficult. You can't describe this game as difficult.
And you have played this game in what? A demo?
Yeah.
A demo that was meant to show you just the basics of the title.
Yes, but not one other person on the face of this earth has called this game difficult.
Hang on, because I'm just basing my experience on Woolly World, because Woolly World itself is like fairly challenging. It can be as described as difficult as well, because I remember reading that same article and like basically the summary is basically the designers were basically making this game with the mentality of similar to Kirby games is like it's accessible. But deep. I mean, Kirby games is like, Kirby games itself is like, as you know, it's very easy. Like, really, it's not like you're playing a From Software game. You're not playing Sekiro, like, in which people always complain, why there won't be an easy mode? I mean, hello, look at Yoshi's Woolly World, look at Kirby. Those games are the perfect antithesis to that. Just, you want an easy game? It's right there. Or you could just breeze through the levels. But there is that challenge and difficulty if you want to go with that 400 meter, 100% completionist rating. And for me, with Yoshi's Woolly World, is like there were levels like that were really like ball busting, if anything else. And that, like, yeah, that's one thing about Nintendo really does well. It's like, I mean, heck, look at Mario. You can easily breeze through that game if you want to wish through it, but if you want to go 100%, yeah, there's going to be the challenge, especially that perfect run back in Super Mario Galaxy. So it just that's one thing that Nintendo really does well. Accessible, but also has the challenge if you're looking for it. Of that same difficulty.
Yeah, and when I say it's difficult, I don't mean that the game is like, you know, you have to pay, you know, utmost attention and you must be on guard 100% of the time. I mean that at times I could go through the level and I could play it just like the level beforehand, and yet I'll get 2 of the flowers instead of 6, even though I'm paying attention and I'm looking for the clues that where those bloody flowers are, and yet I don't find them because they are so well hidden. So that's what I
could see that being. I could see you describing that as cult, like the Mario Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
I would never call that game a game, but it's probably difficult to get 999 moons just because of the time you have to put into it, and you know stuff like that. That would be
that could
be difficult.
Yeah, it's
but
like that's exactly
even
how
I
define
it. I just call that time consuming, you know?
But like when it comes to, here's the thing. If this game was easy, you would never have to do the Poochie levels. Like the whole point of the reverse side is the Poochie levels, which is actually, if you recall when we first saw Crafted World Tyler at that E3, that was not what the game was about. Yoshi could go into certain areas and turn the world around himself. That was the original point of Crafted World, but now the reverse levels are just for Poochies, so you can get extra sunflowers. If the game was easy and totally easy to find all the sunflowers, like they were just laying there waiting for you, and you didn't have to do these mini games and look for the special holes in the world, you would never have to do the reverse side because you would have all the sunflowers you need to continue. But you have to pay attention so you can get all these flowers so you can continue on. And I had to go and do like runs of Poochie levels like two or three times because I couldn't find these sunflowers or I couldn't beat these mini games in a good amount of time because of how difficult they were.
I think that in that same article, they also mentioned that they have in maybe it is in mellow mode, but you could get a sound effect to go off when you're near a flower,
Yeah, that
which
was
would
mellow mode.
again remove the any challenge from it, which is fine. I mean, that's what mellow mode's there for. And I don't think Yoshi has to be necessarily a difficult game. I mean, it shouldn't be, I
No.
would say.
It's like I say, it's like a Kirby game. You know, there it's easy to get through, but then there's
Right.
these challenging bits where you have to pay attention or else you're gonna lose like all your power-ups and everything.
Right, except
So.
for Yoshi Star Allies, which was just a total snooze fest, like in terms
Kirby
of
Star
difficulty
Allies.
the whole time. What'd I say?
You said Yoshi Star Allies,
Oh,
which could
yeah.
happen. Which could happen. Yoshi, Poochie, the pups.
Yes,
You know.
yes.
You summon into like a flying Yoshi, you know, summon like a fireball Yoshi, you know. I can see it. See, this is why we need to work for Nintendo, Tyler.
I
This
really
is why.
wanted to get Crafted World. I'll have to read your review further,
I
and
highly
I'm gonna
recommend
get
it.
it,
I
but
know the writer, and I think he's brilliant.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
no, I mean,
and all but one of the pictures is from my run of the game. So,
nice.
yeah.
I even like New Island on 3DS. I usually enjoy the
That
Yoshi
one was
games.
easy. That one was easy. That was honestly so easy I stopped playing because it's like there was no challenge.
Yeah, I mean, the original Yoshi's Island was like a hard game, right? I
Yeah.
mean, not hard, but it was a fairly challenging game.
Crying
I would
Mario
say that
makes it
game
hard.
could be difficult at times.
It's like the world will never forget crying Mario.
Listen, don't disrespect Baby Mario. That was my
God.
dude. That was my dude. That was my tennis guy. I loved that game. Baby Mario, the goat. He was my Mario Kart Double Dash racer. He splits. If I ever break out Double Dash, you go Baby Mario, you go Toad, and then you win.
Duly noted. All right, so I say we just hit straight for the main event. How about that, guys? So, as Tyler alluded to earlier, there was a brand new Detective Pikachu trailer that came out. And I think it's only appropriate since me and Tyler have different views on how good and or bad these Pokemon look. Let's look at the trailer slide by slide, Pokemon by Pokemon, and let's debate which one is good, which one is bad, and why the other one is wrong, and why I am right. All right? So it's time to sell and smash. Right, now I'm curious, first of all, that Ryan Reynolds called it his audition tape because it's like that's not exactly what was shown. It was just showing off the Pokemon. So I don't know what joke he was going for there.
Yeah, no, me neither. I
Yeah, okay,
didn't
I was
get
gonna
it.
say like, oh, does anybody else know? No? Okay.
No. I mean,
Yeah.
again, like Ryan Reynolds is always, again, ever since Deadpool, he's just kind of that off the wall kind of guy, if
All
anything else.
right, so do you guys have the trailer up? Because I want us to go through it together.
Yes, I'm pulling it up right
All
now.
right. So I just got it up myself. So, all right. Let's start. We're gonna start with second five. All right. So let me know when you're ready. All
All right, here we go. Casting sneak peek. All right, second five, begin.
right. So we've got Jigglypuff.
Yes,
Now
she
I'll
looks
admit,
amazing.
yeah, I'll admit this is actually a better shot of Jigglypuff than the first trailer where we saw her like, you know, inhale like she does in the cartoon. So I think this one's not too bad. It still feels off in some ways, probably because of the eyes. But
it's the mouth to me is it's a little off. The mouth might be a little too high. But
Personally for me, it's a bit on the fuzzy side because, like, I expected the because usually again with the with Jigglypuff's original design, you don't really see any fuzz like in the earpiece. Like a
Is she like 100 years old that she has hair in her ears?
The hair in the ears, I agree, doesn't look great, but I love the tuft that goes down in his little loop.
Well, that.
Yeah, that was that is adorable.
That's her look.
That is adorable.
Yes.
So, again, better. Okay, Pancham. Okay, I like this one. This is this one makes sense because this in the anime, not May. That wasn't May. That was Serena. Serena's Pancham. You know, it looked furry. It's a panda. It should be furry, and that's what it looks like.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah,
he has a good little like personality too.
Oh yeah, Pancham.
Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing for Jigglypuff. Like the little animation that they have in here looks great. It seems like it captures their personalities appropriately.
We'll see. All right, moving on to the devil himself, Apom.
Apom looks great.
Apom's the freaking
Look at it before it turns. Like this looks like an adorable little monkey creature.
Horrifying.
And then
it goes angry, and it's the freaking devil.
And it looks like an angry monkey.
But like Apom in the anime. Would never get that angry, and B, when it looks angry, it doesn't look like that.
It's not the anime. How many times do I have to tell you that it's different than the anime? Like, you don't have to compare it to the anime. It shouldn't be compared to the anime.
It should be, because these are accurate, non-sprite, or small 3D model looks at the Pokemon.
It is a story beyond the anime. There's no Ash Ketchum in this universe.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Don't be so sure.
I don't think there was an Ash Ketchum in the game.
No, there
you
was.
You never know, because
game,
apparently
no.
There's a game theory. There is a theory that says that Detective Pikachu is apparently Ash's Pikachu. But again,
stop. First of all, Ash's Pikachu doesn't drink coffee, and he wouldn't have that deep of a voice. Anyway,
even if there was an Ash, it could just be in a different dimension. I mean, they have to tie it into the anime. Yeah. Like, you have to let go of the visual styles here they're not comparable. I mean, they're totally different. They're trying to do a totally different thing.
You're right in that they shouldn't be fully 100% comparable because they are live action and animation. I totally agree on that, which is why, like with superheroes, I don't say, oh, that doesn't look like them in the comics, because you can't always interpret what's in the comics to the live action, and that's fine, outside of certain elements and all that. But this is different because, you know, it there are base plates, and this is different than comics because those are drawn by artists who want them to look a certain way. These are like they're definitive. They don't change from artist to artist. They only change in how more detailed they are from the sprites to the 3D models and now the live action. So that's what I'm comparing it to, is that how do they compare to their base plates, and does it make sense in their live action format?
Right.
So moving on, we got Dodrio and Venusaur. So I actually like these two. So Dodrio looks like, you know, a furry bird, which again compares to how they look in the games and such. And I don't mind the very roughish look of Venusaur's skin, because he is like, you know, no one actually knows how to define Venusaur.
Again, from the Pokédex, he is defined as a plant-based creature.
Yeah.
So it could be a mix between a creature and a plant, though. It's kind of like a hybrid kind of form.
Yeah.
You know?
So I actually like these two.
Right.
Venusaur looks particularly cool. Dodrio is just a boring Pokémon.
Hey, Dodrio is always made from an emu and ostrich, so please, do not disrespect the emu and ostrich.
Oh, it's just a bland design, whereas Venusaur looks extremely cool. I like the scales. I like the menacingness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Venusaur, 10 out of 10.
All right. Let's see. Moving on. And I like the slow movie. Okay, Eevee. Okay, this one I have a complaint about.
Oh.
All right. Eevee,
I agree with you on this.
Eevee is supposed to be one of the most adorable Pokemon, and yet I see like a buzz cut or a bobbed head. I don't know what the frick that dark spot is on the top of his head.
Yeah.
What
I
is that?
I think it's like probably the shading of it. Maybe it's just like, I know what you're talking. Yeah, I can see what you're talking about. It's like Perhaps just camera work or just the animation. But yeah, the dark
No,
spot doesn't really match as well the face and the body. Granted, granted.
well, that and it, like, it literally shatters the illusion of its head because in the games and everything else, it does not have that dark spot.
I like
So
how
I.
you said and everything else because you knew if you said the anime, I was going to jump down your throat.
Well, I mean, it's been seen in the anime multiple times and even has looked differently in the anime multiple times.
No, yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue with them going in a different direction with these, but I think Eevee looks kind of stupid. I like
Yeah.
everything about it except for what you said, that the hair at the top is just unnecessary and it takes
Yeah.
away from the
I mean,
adorableness. Kind of makes it look weird.
yeah, I am literally looking at Eevee via the games and the anime right now, and in the regular version, it's just an extension of the hair, the color of its basic of the most of its head,
Right, the
just
cowlick, yeah.
yeah, calicky. It's, flurry, and like here it's got like a buzz cut, and it's like, was this like an experiment? What the heck is this? Oh, we want to experiment with Pokemon hairstyles, which is a thing in the Pokemon world if you know your games, but this is taking it too far.
It is. It is. I agree.
Okay. All right, Charizard. So
Amazing.
this one I still have a problem with. I know what they were going for. I respect what they were going for. They were going for pure lizard skin because it is a lizard, it's not a dragon. All right, that's a common misconception. It is a lizard, not a dragon. I just think they went too far.
Like it should look, how do you think it should look?
Just a little less. I mean, I like, again, I like what
A
they're going
little
for.
less, a little
Like, a
less.
little less rough. A little less rough on the skin.
Because, like, yeah, I'm looking at the skin textures. It feels like, you know how it is with elderly people, that
Yeah.
wrinkled skin? It reminds me of that in a sense. It's like
Yeah.
a bit too much on scaly aside of the wrinkliness. It makes like look makes Charizard look like an old lizard, an old
Yeah.
grandpa lizard.
I
Yeah,
don't
and
see that at all. It looks like a scaly lizard to me. The only thing I don't love is his eyes look a little too friendly to me.
I don't know about that. Or what is that white thing in his mouth when he opens it? Because there's like these sections of white. If you pause it at like 27, you'll,
Moth?
huh?
Oh, you mean like the glands for the
Oh, is
mouth
that what it is?
joints?
Is that
Yeah, it's just a little
trough?
light hitting the inside of
Oh,
it.
okay. It just looks weird, you know? And
Okay.
also, just to go total nerd here, that caption of breathe fire that can melt anything, that's entirely incorrect. Because, okay, sorry, I gotta go nerd on this. As he
Boy.
specifically states in the Pokédex, okay, a Charizard's flamethrower can burn at 2100 degrees Fahrenheit, which cannot melt anything. It can melt boulders, but it cannot melt anything. All right, it's just completely false. He clearly didn't look at the Pokédex.
Please get like please, please, please get a life foundation.
Oh, you're going Animaniacs on me. Wow, that's a nice touch, Will. I'm so proud of you. And now I'm not. But no, okay, funnily enough, I know that because of Death Battle. All right, and here we go. Pikachu. Still too furry. Still too furry. It's just like the head, like how it's in right now, if you like if you pause at like 29, how the head looks actually isn't too bad. But then you look at
Adorable.
the tail and you look at like the rest of its body and it looks like really shaggy fur.
I wouldn't
Sure,
say
for
really
sure.
shaggy. I mean, it's definitely some fur, but I wouldn't say really overly done. The tail looks fine. I mean, maybe the belly, but I just think it's adorable. I
Right.
mean,
I mean,
like.
I can see. It definitely seems a little bit on the furry side, but there's nothing too much that actually detracts from the cuteness factor, granted.
And then after the next Pokemon, you see Pikachu in the car, and he looks
Yeah,
even better
we'll get it.
there
We'll
than he
get there. We'll
does.
get there. All right, so let's look at Psyduck. Now, I mean, I'm
This
curious.
looks like way better than it did in that first trailer. I would have
Yeah.
agreed with you in that first trailer. It looks so much better in
I
this one.
don't know what happened, but yeah, if you look at the first, like the very first, like trailer for Detective Pikachu, that Psyduck and this Psyduck look totally different.
It's just the lighting.
Yeah, lighting and like the fur looked like it was standing on it. This looks like a much better Psyduck, but I don't know.
Well, again, well, duckies are amphibian. No, not amphibian. Quit that bird. They're bird like supposedly it's feathers, not fur. So that's kind
Yeah.
of the thing that's kind of inconsistent with
So,
me.
and then we go
it
to the.
doesn't look like fur. It looks like feathers.
It does. It looks like furry
Tiny
feathers.
feathers.
Tiny,
Yeah.
tiny, tiny feathers.
I mean,
No?
you look at a
Nobody? Okay.
duck, Will. Like, look up a picture of a duck. I sent this to Tati. I showed
Right,
you.
right, right.
It
A
looks
young
like
duck.
this.
Right. A duck
Yeah,
one. Yes,
it looks
yes.
like that.
Yeah. And then, of course, the very funny car scene. You know, like, and again, this Psyduck looks fine. So I kind of wondering if when we saw it in the first trailer that maybe, like, something happened to make its, like, feather fur stand on end. I don't know. But this Psyduck looks much better than what we saw before. All right, moving on to 47. We got Snubbull, which actually I think looks pretty good. You know, it looks like a dog, just the right amount of fur. So
Snubbull looks too much like a puppet.
Well,
like
that's just because I stick my hand in it
and move its mouth.
Well, that's just because of its design and how like the dress looks like a cloth sleeve. But that's honestly how it looks in the shows and such.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it translates as well to this look as the other ones do.
All right, now Squirtle. Mm-hmm. Squirtle looks great. All right,
Squirtle looks awesome.
I think that the detail on the shell, that's good. And then if you look at its skin, it's smooth and it feels right.
Squirtle might be the number one best looking of them all.
Maybe. Okay, again, wait. I know we barely see it, but then like pause really early on 51, we see Lickitung. Lickitung looks awesome.
Yes.
And I was telling this to Will before you got here, Tyler, but it was like, of all the Pokemon that they got 100% right, they got Lickitung 100% right. And like, what is wrong with you? That you got Lickitung right, but messed them all up. Okay, not all of them, as I just messed up. Okay. And then if you go to...
Or the next one.
Yeah, 52, Bulbasaur looks great.
Yes, Bulbasaur looks great.
I might personally have toned down the skin detail just a little bit.
Oh, I love the skin detail.
It does look good, but in part it looks like a little too much. But still, way better than some of the other ones.
What part looks too much?
Huh? I don't know. Like on the left side of its face, and then you see like the left side of its body. It just feels a little too much, especially when you go like to the middle of its head, like where the nose is, and there's like no detail there. You know, just a personal thing. I don't know what I'm saying.
You see the ridges of the eyepiece, like you see right above the eye, like you see like little space that indents in the above the eye. That's one detail. All right. Yeah.
So let's go to the next one. Cubone.
That looks good.
I like that. I agree. Mm-hmm. And I love how they're showing the Pokeball catching. I think that's a cool effect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we see Bobcat Eevee evolving into Flareon. Now, I mean, I know we barely see it. It's better shown in the other one. There's something about the eyes that throws me off.
It's just the post-evolution look to me, though. If you have to remember, like, for all of these, there's just a certain lighting and... like certain sequences, they're gonna look different, and I do agree with you. The eyes look a little too big here,
and blue.
Everything else looks on point, and I think that that's just because it's evolving.
You're probably right. I'll give it. Oh, and then Pangoro. Dear gosh, I mean, that's literally how he's supposed to look. Intimidating. He literally is looking at me like, Todd, I'm gonna come through this TV screen and rip out your fro.
Yeah, Pangoro's sick.
Yeah, and then my exact response would be kill Will instead. Get him. Then Tyler, you know, I guess flip a coin. You know, which one should die first? I'm not specific. I'm the host. As long as I die last. And then Ludicolo. What was that? This one looks surprisingly good. I was not expecting it to look this good.
I have no problems with it. I have no problems with it.
And now I will note that. If I'm going to just type it into my phone really quick, but this one honestly looks the most different from its Pokemon roots. So I'm looking at the picture.
Yeah.
Because it's in the show, it's a little, it is hairy, but it looks lighter and it looks more put together. But I mean, that's just interpretation of fur, I suppose. So I'm not going to point that out. And then, we got, crap. What's this one? Don't tell me. Volt? No.
Who's that Pokemon?
I know that Pokemon! Dang it! Not Mincio.
Oh, I just had it in my head.
Because it was Iris's Pokemon.
It starts with a... Oh my gosh, why can't I... I literally just had it.
I just blanked. Crap.
It starts with a P, I think.
Yeah. Iris's Pokemon.
Oh, there we go. Emolga.
Emolga! Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm not surprised I missed that one. I knew it was an electric type because it uses Volt Swap, and that's what ticked off Iris so much. But yeah, Emolga. Not bad. I feel like the ears were bigger in the one in the game, but whatever.
Yeah.
Charmander. See, here it is again.
And they really did good on the reptiles, I think.
I disagree. I just think that is too much. It's too much.
What?
Like, Too much on the skin.
What are you talking about? What, how do you think Charmander should look? He looks like a little baby lizard there.
Yeah. Now, the eyes are pretty good. I like that the flaming tail, the body proportions. I like that the claws are out. That's fine. It's just when I look at the skin, especially with the eye, like that giant eye, it just feels off.
I could not disagree more. I don't know what you want them to do with Charmander.
I want them to be right, Tyler. I want them to be as perfect as Lickitung. Whoever thought I would say that sentence?
That looks perfect. That looks absolutely perfect. I mean, Lickitung doesn't really have a lot of like skin to it. It just looks kind of flat. And I think that look too much.
Exactly. All right, let's just move on. Loudred. Just looks intimidating. Like that looks.
I
do not
want
to see that Pokemon in an alley.
Yeah, it does.
It's creepy. I mean, what the heck?
I mean, it looks like Loudrin. Loudrin's just
okay.
Dumb Pokemon. All
right, now we gotta go really fast because this is them.
Oh wow, that is fast.
Yeah, going really fast. So pause really closely at
the 1 minute mark. Yeah.
We got a Perkitty, I believe its name is, because that's not Skitty. Skitty something else.
No, I think you're right. That's the one that evolves into the
Perugly. Yeah, so let's. Okay, I gotta type that up. See, I know most of these Pokemon, but I do have a life despite what Will thinks. So, Glammeow. There we go. Glammeow. Uh-huh. So that's not bad. I mean, this one I feel that it makes. Actually, hold on. That's not Glammeow. What is that? Is that Perkitty or is that Skitty? What is that?
I think that is Perkitty.
Is that Skitty?
The form would be Purloin, if not.
Yeah. No, that's not Skitty. Is it Purloin? I think you said. Let's see. So many Pokemon. Purloin. Okay, I don't know which one Pokemon that is. Okay.
All right.
Let's move on. Let's see. That's the Braviary pre-evolution. Ah, gosh. It's hard. I can't remember all 800 and whatever Pokemon.
So. yes.
All right. I have limits. All right. Rufflet. That's actually pretty good. Yeah.
Yes,
so let's see.
Yes.
We got Sneasel. Okay. I got a problem with Sneasel. All right. That's too much fur. What is that?
Yeah, I was expecting a bit
that's
more
like a
sheen.
That's such a tough one to pause it right on.
I know. I'm literally clicking like as slowly as I can.
Oh,
right?
I got it. There you go. That one looks great.
Oh, come on. It's a steel type.
For Sneevil, I kind of expected a similar fur to a Doberman. Like a very sheen, slick.
Yeah, it's a steel type. It's supposed to
be
like
It does
like
look slick.
Sheen.
It does look slick.
It does not
it does
look
not
slick.
Look,
it looks like a furry ball of fur.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It looks slick. Its design is slick. And you say it's a steel.
It's not
type.
A
look
Doberman
at its claws.
Slick.
Its claws are steel.
Not the point, Tyler.
It
not
looks
the
like
point.
A steel type. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. All right. Next, Torterra.
Yes.
Boss.
Yes.
Yeah, that one looks good.
Yeah. Now, the coloring is a little off, but, that's just subjective. I'll give you that one, Tyler. That one's just subjective. But he looks... Like, that's the right amount of scaling, because that's a turtle with a freaking, continent on its back.
Right.
I don't mind that one at all. Next one, Treecko. Kingler.
No, we got Treecko. We got Treecko.
I must have missed that one. Hold on. Like I said, Tyler. Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go. Treecko.
He looks
it's
fine.
A gecko.
I don't love
it's
it.
It's a gecko.
Yeah, I know.
It looks accurate. I just don't love his design in general.
I don't like his position, because Treecko is bipedal.
Yeah, it's true. So, he's usually standing straight up.
Yeah. All right, so thank you for telling me about that. Now we got Kingler, not to be confused with Krabby. I like it.
Yep. Hard one to mess up. It's a crab.
Yeah, hard. It's a crab. Something like, what the frick if you mess up a crab? Oh, and then, of course, Magikarp. I like it. Completely useless. You don't say. You splash attack Magikarp. There it goes. Okay, what's more to say about Magikarp, am I right? I mean...
It's a fish,
so... And then, of course, right at the end, we get another look at Mewtwo, which, honestly, the last trailer showed him off. He's perfect.
Yeah.
I would have been really mad if they went overly complicated on Mewtwo. I'm being completely honest here. I'm glad they didn't, but I would have been totally mad if they did. Because it's like, it's Mewtwo. He's genetically created to be not like all the other Pokemon. So, what do you want? All right. Now, I admit I was a little worried when I saw this trailer at first, but then like looking at it with you guys like this, I do see again good Pokemon designs, but I still see ones that kind of make me iffy, and I still am not going to go see this in theaters. It's still going to be a
I don't
rent.
think any of them look objectively bad. Like, Eevee is the only one that I don't like,
See, at least
right?
we can
Because
agree
I
on
think its
that.
hair is stupid. But as far as making them look cool, I think that they succeeded. I'm still they don't like Charmander. I think Charmander is one of the best ones by far. I think it's perfect. That's what Charmander looks like in the real world. If there was a real life Charmander, that's what I would expect it to look like. I wouldn't expect it to not have like scale, sort of scaly skin, because it's a lizard, and lizards have scales.
Yeah, but not all lizards look like, you know, like, I don't know, like the Earth's crust after a drought. I mean, it looked like it was just too much for me. It's just for me.
It's such a simplistic design. Like, I too much.
Yeah,
How could you get too much from
because
that?
it's a baby lizard. It shouldn't have all that detail on it.
It
It
doesn't have that much detail on it.
does. It really does. Let's just move on. So,
You disgust me.
you disgust me. You thought Sneasel looked epic. It doesn't look like that. It shouldn't look like that. Oh, and here's another reason why, because it's supposedly weak to ice, and yet it has fur. How is it weak to ice if it has that kind of fur? Exactly. Shut up. Okay, I may have been wrong about the ice thing. It's been a while since I've looked at a Sneasel, but I know it doesn't look like that. So, anyway. With that very spirited debate that I clearly won, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you if you will keep buying amiibo if Nintendo continues to make them, and 60% of you said yes, 0% said no, and 40% said only specific ones. So 60% of you are just buying those amiibo. I respect you, and I am
Well,
with you.
hey,
oh
hey,
yeah.
hey, because again, by the time of this recording, the Ken, Young Link, and Daisy amiibo is gonna be out by the time of this recording. And from what I've seen so far on Amazon, Daisy is a hot item right now. So yeah.
I'm sure Tyler's got five of them pre-ordered. Yeah. Oh boy. So tell me, Tyler, if you do get when you do get all five, which one's gonna be the real Daisy and which one's gonna be her Echoes? Ah, I'm so clever. Yeah, you know what they say. I'm a peach. Moving on. So, today's full question is, let's just keep it Detective Pikachu. Do you like the Pokemon designs shown in the recent Detective Pikachu trailer? Yes, no, I only like certain ones. I'm very, very curious about this one. I'm personally going to make sure I spread this around as much as possible because I want as many people to vote on this as possible because I want to know what people think. If they think I'm right, Tyler's wrong, or I am right. It's, yeah. So there you go. And of course, let us know what you think about all the news that happened this week, as small as it may have been. Are you happy with Octopath Traveler possibly coming to Steam? What do you think about Disney Plus coming to Switch? Are you excited for Mortal Kombat 11 and do you mind the violence in the game? What do you think about Yoshi's Crafty World if you played it? And of course, Detective Pikachu. Are you excited for it? Because it's May 13th, right? So it's like only a month away.
Yeah.
So do let us know. So for Tellius Tyler, Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.